I invite all of you to open up your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Though we are usually in the book of Mark, we will have a brief message this morning on missions. It ties into our presentation last week, where we see the high value and the important call of missions and being missionaries to a dark world. Philippians chapter 4 underscores that and gives us a couple of motivations for giving to missions. We'll be in verses 15 through 20. Michael Simpson Culbertson served as a U.S. soldier and a missionary to the country of China. He had passed through West Point with distinction. He trained many of the officers who served in the American Civil War. But in 1862, he lay in China, in Shanghai, dying of cholera. Two of his friends approached his bedside. The Civil War in America was in its second year, and his friends made note to him, saying, "Dr. Culbertson, had you been back in the United States right now, you'd be a major general commanding great armies." To this, Dr. Culbertson replied, "No doubt I might. Men I drilled are in that position right now. Among them are Rosecrans and Thomas and Sherman. But there is not one with whom I would be willing to exchange. There is no post of influence on earth equal to that of a man who is permitted to give the word of God to 400 million of his fellow men. This is a man who understood the reward of missions. Missions are rewarding. There's a reward for the missionary. He or she is engaging the lost in front lines mission ministry. There's reward for the convert. For the man or woman who places their faith in Jesus Christ, there's reconciliation with God. And there's also reward for the giver, the one who gives to missions. The church that gives will reap great rewards from the Lord Himself. There's a blessedness in supporting the work of God's missionaries. And today we're going to see three rewards or three motivations for the church that gives to missions. This comes to us in Philippians chapter 4. We'll read the passage in its entirety right now, verses 15 through 20. Paul writes, "You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen." So first today, we'll see the important motivation of evangelism participation. And this comes to us in verses 15 and 16. We see that Paul's writing to a group of Philippians who were participating in evangelism. This is a letter that Paul wrote from prison to a church that he planted in the city of Philippi. It has a tone or a theme of joy and encouragement. And he wrote to this church to encourage the people in the progress of their faith. In Acts 16, he visited the town. He began preaching the gospel. People began putting their faith in Christ. The gospel was received in Philippi, but Paul was also beaten. He was imprisoned. And he was arrested. But nevertheless, he faithfully continued spreading that good news of Jesus Christ upon his release. He went to other cities, he went to other regions, and boldly proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ. But no matter where he went, we see that the Philippians maintained a special place in his heart. In chapter 1, verse 5, Paul records that no other church participated in that giving or in that gospel message like the Philippians had. From their first experience with the gospel, they were participants in spreading the good news. They continued to obey the gospel even after Paul departed from their town, Philippians 2:12. And now, in verses 15 and 16, we see that they supported Paul when no one else did. He says, "No church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone." Can you imagine the loneliness that Paul would have felt? Can you identify with that kind of a feeling? He planted that church. He poured his soul into them. There's numerous churches that he did this to, and now there's this sadness. There's almost a rejection or a solitude that he felt. There were other churches that were receiving but not giving. There were other churches that were growing but not investing. There were other churches who had their doors open yet were closed off. In a veiled manner, or not so veiled, Paul points out here that other churches were not providing support. The Philippian church rose to the top. They stuck out among the other churches as the one giving support. For us, we, after a week of rainstorms, we appreciate that sunny day more because of the backdrop of all the storm and the gloom from the past week. In a similar way, these Philippians shined brighter against a backdrop of unsupportive churches. But with every reason to sulk in despair, Paul instead chose joy. And that comes through in his writing here. He was encouraged. He was joyful for their support. I mean, they're participating in the spread of the gospel. This gospel spread is more than just you and I sharing it with our neighbor or our friend. This is a worldwide event. And as a church and as individuals, we got to get in the game. We're not supposed to be a group of sideline Christians. We must give to this endeavor as individuals. We must give to this endeavor as a church. Lord willing, we will be a church who yearns to participate in the gospel ministry. We do that certainly by sharing the good news with others, but we also do it by giving and supporting those who are doing it on the front lines of missions. When we give generously, we free those missionaries up to do the work that God calls them to do. They don't need to wonder about where their support is coming from. Will I continue to get support? Will I be able to have enough food on the table? Churches that give generously to participate in evangelism relieve or alleviate those kinds of questions from our missionaries. And as we said, we can play a part in the gospel proclamation by Christ's missionaries. As a result, one day soon, we will enjoy an eternal compensation. Well, that's our second point this morning. You see it in verse 17. Paul writes, "Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account." So the Philippian church gave materially to Paul, but it received spiritually from the Lord. Paul's rejoicing in this exchange, using financial terminology here. He sees their credit is increasing. Just as you make a deposit at the bank and your balance goes up, giving to missions, giving to the missionaries, raises our profit spiritually. It's interesting here how Paul celebrates this gift. He's not celebrating some kind of endowment. He's not happy that they met his need. He's not even rejoicing in the fact that he received a gift. Paul's rejoicing because the Philippians satisfied their own need. Again, Paul's rejoicing because the Philippians satisfied their own need. And we say that because when we give, there's something happening that is more than just financial support. In the Bible, some commands given by God result in a need for us to fulfill. We're called to be givers, Romans 12, 13 and 1 Timothy 6, 18. When we give, we are obedient to God's commands, John 14, 16. And when we're obedient to God's commands, we reap God's rewards, Ephesians 6, 7 and 8. So the Philippians and us cannot be fully obedient to God's commands unless we are giving to God's missionaries. But more than this, on top of that, there is a blessing for the one who gives. Right now, in this present life, we can help lift a burden off of our missionaries. We can let our lights shine before men so that they too would thank God. We are a reason for others to praise the Lord and thank God. And, of course, in the life to come, we store up treasures for ourselves in heaven. We enable our missionaries to gain a reward through the work that they are doing. And we even impact the eternal standing of others. So when we're obedient, we stand to gain a lot. And we must purpose to give bountifully or in abundance. Listen to how Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 9:6. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Do you hear the farming analogy in that? The farmer eagerly sows all the seed that he can when it's time to plant. He knows that the more he's sowing, the better his crop will be. He knows that when he harvests that crop, he's going to get food to eat, to sell, but more than that, he's going to get seed for the next planting season. So he wants to sow as much seed as he possibly can. So if he stints on the sowing, or if he holds back on the seed, he's only hurting himself. So you and I, in a similar way, when we give, when we're sowing that seed of the gospel, we're blessed because we give to missions. We hurt ourselves when we do not give, when we withhold. And Paul understood this. That's why he rejoiced. Because he understood that the gift the Philippians gave was to their own benefit. Though certainly Paul benefited from it. But he saw the greatest gift in all of that was for the Philippians themselves who gave. That eternal compensation is a wonderful reward for giving. We've seen that we get to participate in evangelism on the front lines gospel ministry. We're compensated eternally for our gift. And thirdly, we're making an essential contribution to missionaries, to kingdom building. And this is seen in verses 18 to 20. Paul writes, I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. He couldn't help but praise the Lord at the end there in verse 20. So we're meeting essential needs. Paul's describing that, thanking the Philippians for the needs that they met. I've received everything in full. I have an abundance. I'm amply supplied. Those are the kind of descriptions we want our missionaries to tell us about as we give to them. And when we give, when we do it right, we're meeting actual and essential needs out there. The money isn't just wasted or going to places that we don't know. It's going to real needs for real gospel missionaries. Our church is giving to missions each year. We have a missions fund here. I'm working with the finance committee right now to ensure that the best biblical, God-honoring missionaries out there will receive our support. We can donate to the needs of their children. We can supply them with groceries and medicine. We can give financially to the literature materials used in gospel ministry. This is an essential contribution toward them, but also towards us. How does this contribute towards us? Well, our giving contributes to our worship experience. Giving is an act of worship for the church that gives. Look at the language of the Old Testament sacrifices in verse 18. He describes this gift as a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. If you look at a book like Leviticus, a fragrant aroma is an offering that pleased God. In Ephesians 5:2, it's used of Christ's offering of himself unto God. And anytime we give, we're making a sacrifice. Giving to God's work is a sacrifice on our part. And Hebrews 13:16 tells us that to do good and to share is a sacrifice pleasing to God. So just as you would light a scented candle in your living room and you'd enjoy the aroma that that gives off, so too do our good deeds please God. They are a fragrant aroma unto the Lord. So giving to the right mission can be an act of worship. And we never know, it can be indispensable to that missionary family. So today we saw there's a great return for missions giving. We participate in the spread of the gospel. We reap rewards presently and in the life to come. And we make essential and important contributions to real needs. God profits that church that gives to his missionaries. Queen Elizabeth I reigned in England in the late 1500s. There's a story that is told of her commissioning a rich merchant prince to depart and go on an important mission on her behalf. He declined, claiming that his business would suffer during his absence. But she told him, "You go and look after my business, and I will look after your business." On his return, he found that the queen had kept her promise and that his business was flourishing. It was better than before. The First Baptist Church of Wellsburg is called to go look after God's business. God's business is saving souls through the preaching of Jesus Christ. And we must give to the missionaries that he sends. If we're giving, if we're putting his kingdom first, if we're making sacrifices, he'll take care of us. He will meet all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So if we heed his call, he will profit our obedience. There's a reward for the missionary, for the convert. But today we see, too, that there's a reward for the church that gives. May we be the church that generously gives to God's missionaries. Join me in a word of prayer. Lord, we reflect upon Dr. Moorhead and the face that he represents of so many other missionaries out there with their families in difficult situations, in persecution, in trial and in tribulation. And as we think of them, as we picture them, Lord, we pray that we would be faithful to you by supporting and giving to them. I pray, Father, that if it would be your will, you would cause us to be a wealthy church that gives all of those riches away to your missionaries. I pray you would supply us with what we need. And then on top of that, you would supply us with great amounts to then turn and give that to your people. It's my prayer that you would use us as a beacon, as a light in this world, to support your missionaries and to extend the love of Jesus Christ to people and places we've never even visited. Thank you for our missionaries. May we be an encouragement and a solid rock to them. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.